Eight Stories from Mousewood by Matt Kempke. Read by Rob Quirk. The First Story of Mice, Squirrels and Mousewood Forest. Somewhere, tucked away between faraway fields and winding paths, there lies a forest crowded with mice and squirrels. So crowded, in fact, that even a mighty wizard, with an even mightier beard, couldn't wander the forest's paths without being asked by some tiny rodents for a lift, because they wanted to visit relatives who moved three clearings down the road a few years ago because there were gooseberries over there. And because there are so many mice, the forest is known as Mousewood Forest. But something was going on in the otherwise tranquil Mousewood Forest. A forest so peaceful that at noon all you would sense was the soft rustle of the wind in the treetops, the sweet scent of the pine needles, and a lone buzzing bee skipping its lunch break. Yes, something in this tranquil forest was disturbing the peace. For a few days now, some furry, fairly unhappy red squirrels had refused to refer to the forest as Mousewood Forest. The squirrels, as they saw it, were narrowly outnumbered by the grey mice. Why, they wondered, should Mousewood Forest only be known as Mousewood Forest? So they made a great effort to remind visitors out for a Sunday walk or a picnic that there were not only small grey mice, but also auburn squirrels with bushy tails and equally bushy ears. For example, under each sign that read Mousewood Forest, they attached a second, reading, "And Squirrelwood." Furthermore, a few squirrels with particularly fluffy red fur lay in wait behind tree stumps and hidden in foliage to jump out in front of passers-by, look at those humans with honest, beady eyes, and push the idea that this forest could just as well be called Squirrelwood. As a rule, most humans are startled when suddenly something pops out in front of them from behind something. This may lead to them no longer thinking about Mousewood Forest and its name, which could just as well be a different name. Instead, they may flee, never to return. Or they may even scream and shout, since they weren't expecting to be startled. Those who run away never to return, the squirrels reckoned, would probably call Fair Mousewood Forest by its name, which might just as well be a different name. A startled, fleeing rambler might even call Mousewood Forest, "Don't go there." And that, the squirrels concluded, would be even less desirable than Mousewood Forest. If people started screaming when startled by a small, auburn animal, the serenity of the forest would be lost for good. And neither the squirrels nor the countless other forest dwellers, not even the inhabitants of Mousewood, Mousewood Forest's capital, would want that. For serenity in a forest is no ordinary silence, like in a boring, noiseless room, but a cacophony of many tiny, likeable sounds. The wind wafting through the leaves, twigs clicking in the canopy, rustling down in the undergrowth, and the gentle creaking of towering trunks. So, if the squirrels wanted to purposely pop out from behind something, they had to be careful about doing it, without scaring anybody off or disturbing the forest's serenity. Those who know squirrels are probably wondering how anyone could possibly be afraid of the little fellows at all. Well, if a small animal with a bushy red tail suddenly crossed your path, you might be briefly startled, but in an instant you'd spot that the little animal was just as much taken by surprise as yourself. What would follow is a cautious glance and then a quick dash to safety. Then again, if a small animal with a bushy red tail and beady eyes leapt out in front of you when you're roaming the woods and you happen to notice, after a fleeting moment of fright, that this squirrel was actually up to something, that it was standing in the way of somebody so much taller than itself on purpose, then such a small animal must surely be capable of anything. It had probably run up to you really fast, climb up your legs and back until it reached the top of your head, and then start furiously tousling your hair with its tiny paws. In anticipation of this, anybody would run or scream, assuming they don't actually like getting their hair tousled by squirrels who are up to something. Since squirrels are generally not very fond of having their own fur tousled, they try and hide the fact that they leap out on purpose. It has to look like a coincidence. Even those blessed with beady eyes have to play act a bit if they want to appear surprised and shy, when they in fact aren't. Just this morning, around 9 o'clock, three squirrels decided to practice popping out from behind something, since, as you now know, it's easier said than done. Wait for it. Wait for it. Leap. Stop. Have a look round. Spot the rambler. Freeze. Stare at the rambler and straighten those tufted ears. Add a few skillful hops behind the next bush, spiral up that tree like an expert, and then watch the rambler's reaction from a safe distance. As if you really were surprised to see me. Well done, Oswald, said Edgar, one of the three squirrels. He had played the role of the rambler, roaming around before then getting a reminder of the striking number of squirrels living in these woods. He had held a large leaf, painted with a surprised human face, in front of him to make this training exercise as real as possible. Oswald, the second squirrel, climbed nimbly down the tree, while Edward, the third squirrel, who had only played the role of spectator during this run, hopped out of the nearby bushes. Yeah, really good, he confirmed. Flawless, even. Looked really realistic to me. Thanks, Oswald said. It was time to switch roles. Since Oswald already knew the ropes of popping out from behind something, it was his turn to watch from the bushes. He was in an excellent position to tell Edgar, who had just played the rambler, if he was also good at popping out from behind something, or if there was anything he could improve on. Edward just had to stroll along the path and carry the leaf with a face on it in front of him. When Edgar popped out, by chance, and confronted Edward, the latter froze as if petrified. The leaf in his paws began to shake, as did his legs and, eventually, his squirrely tail. He seemed truly shaken. Shaken like a rambler afraid of a squirrel tousling his hair. Faced with this, Edgar completely forgot that he had to act like a shy squirrel and was supposed to scurry up the next tree. Instead, he just stared, stock still, at the face painted on the shaking leaf. Edward took his role of a startled visitor very seriously. As soon as he noticed that the animal with the red bushy tail and beady eyes that had suddenly popped out in front of him wasn't in the least bit shy or frightened, he shook even more. Ah! He yelled, certain that this was how somebody afraid their hair was about to be tousled would yell. He turned and ran away as fast as he could. And because he was determined to be as convincing as possible, he disappeared for a few days. Hoot! He called out with a deep and calm voice, instantly gaining the audience's attention. My dear friends, he began, as you may be aware, we have gathered here to resolve the dispute about the name of our forest. I am honored to hold the chair of this assembly. Many of the squirrels among us would like to see Squirrelwood as the legitimate name for our home. Well, seeing as there are a good deal of squirrels here in our forest, their wish is hardly surprising. But let us not dwell on that. He slowly closed his eyes, only to open them again in an instant, as if he had had a sudden stroke of genius. A forest called Mousewood Forest. What kind of forest would come to someone's mind who was, hoot, not familiar with our beloved woods? Conrad's head turned inquisitively as his gaze wandered across the gathering. Animals, dwarves, and a few others thought hard. Oswald the squirrel's first thoughts were concerned with nuts, but he quickly realized that these had nothing to do with the name, more the fact that he really liked nuts. So he continued thinking hard and eventually called out in a low voice, they'd probably think of a wood full of mice? Conrad, the old owl, blinked with his left eye, with his right following shortly after. This is indeed what someone would think when they first heard the name. Thank you, Oswald, said the owl. But there are not only mice in these woods. There is, in fact, no such thing as a forest populated solely by mice. What sort of forest would that be if there were only mice in it? Much murmuring ran through the assembled ranks. Even the mice had trouble imagining a forest with only mice in. Nothing but mice. "We mice can't do everything on our own," said a young mouse named Humbert, while the older mice nodded in agreement. "All on our own? Impossible," they exclaimed. "You see," said the owl calmly, "and we can't survive without you either." This he said with such conviction that some of the mice flinched. They had good reason to assume that this owl had an occasional appetite for mice, despite his wisdom and kindness. "So, if someone hears the name Mousewood Forest and thinks there will only be mice, they will quickly come to the conclusion that such a thing cannot exist." Conrad balanced carefully on the stump as he spoke. "They will be aware that there must be squirrels and badgers and ants and crows and all kinds of other animals. We all need each other to survive." "But why is Mousewood Forest called Mousewood Forest anyway?" some squirrels wanted to know, still feeling disadvantaged. A wood sprite nervously clicked some twigs. "Because, at the time this forest was named, there were a lot of mice here, as there still are today. But even if one day there are fewer mice, this forest will still be called Mousewood Forest. You can't just rename a forest, can you? Just imagine if someone wanted to visit and couldn't find us because the forest had been renamed. Woot!" And the squirrels had to agree. They had grandparents who rarely visited since they lived so far away. They didn't dare think how sad it would be if they were unable to visit because they couldn't find Mousewood Forest anymore. "Furthermore," Conrad continued, "it would not be wise to add squirrels to the forest's name, for then we would have to add the dwarves and all the other animals as well. A name is not supposed to be a census. Woot! Just imagine the confusion that would result." The squirrels preferred to think about nuts and acorns. They were far less confusing. "You see," Conrad concluded, "it is not about how many of a certain kind are present, or who was here first. This forest belongs to each and every animal living in and near it. Woot! Even if it is called Mousewood Forest, no one would ever believe only mice live here. It is a name, and the point of a name is to paint part of the whole picture, perhaps part of its history." Conrad then realized that most of the animals didn't understand, so he tried to give them an example. "You see, someone called Honesty does not necessarily have to be honest. If she is dishonest, she would surely not change her name. Woot! She would remain Honesty, since that is the name that was given her." The little mouse called Humbert yelled in outrage, "But if she were honest, she would return her name." "If she were honest," said a surly wood dwarf to Humbert, "she wouldn't have to. Then she could keep her name." Conrad the Owl closed both eyes before he said slowly, but with empathy and a touch of impatience, "You do not woot change a name. You rarely do. Usually you don't." That would have to suffice. He spread his wings, performed two quick hops on the stump, and then, with two or three silent flaps, soared skywards. Some animals were satisfied with his explanation. Others debated whether Honesty could keep her name if she at least volunteered to return it after a single dishonesty, since that would be the honest thing to do. Others swiftly made their way home, unsettled by the huge owl circling overhead. The squirrels, Oswald and Edgar, were now looking for Edward. He had managed to hide in exactly the way someone afraid a small animal with a bushy red tail and beady black eyes would leap on his head and furiously tousle everything up there would. They walked slowly along the stream. The hubbub faded with each step they took away from the clearing and eventually died away. Wind rustled the treetops, and Oswald paused, pondering. "So, the wood is not very much like its name, but it doesn't need to be, since names don't change. It just is. Even though the forest is constantly changing and growing, it just takes its name along with it." Edgar nodded eagerly. Both were glad that, since the forest could not just be renamed Squirrelwood, they and their well-hidden friend would have the next day off. Because somebody, at some point, when the forest was much smaller, had given it its name. And you don't change names. Well, rarely. Usually, you don't.